Oh, hi. Welcome to the party. Come on in. Thanks for coming. Take your shoes off, please. Take your shoes off. Put them over there near the door. Get yourself a drink and a little finger sandwich. Yeah, we're going to start the show now.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
I don't know why you came to my party. We're going to be playing some games today. Pin the tail on the person. Strip poker. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a good time. We're going to sit and we're going to talk about our inner feelings and how much we can't stand people together. We'll get along that way. We're going to create some great dishes down in the kitchen, some things that are not edible, really, but fun to prepare. And then we're going to tell stories about people that aren't here behind their backs. It's going to be a good time. Come on, join the party.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Man.
Whatever.
I know. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Hey, where are you going? Where are you going? Why are you leaving the party? What's up? You got an important call? You have to leave immediately? Oh, come on. Seriously? I don't buy it. I don't know. You just can't trust people anymore. You really can't. Not that I ever could. It just sounds more fun to say anymore, because then it sounds like a long-running thing. As I sit here and do the show right now for you, for your entertainment, like some type of little organ grinder's monkey, I must remind you, or remind myself, I live and work in the Boston area. Our show emanates from a studio in the Boston area. And right now, as I speak, we're getting a nor'easter, or a nor'easter. It's another bomb cyclone. I have no idea what that means. That's a new weather term. It sounds horrible, but I don't quite know what that is. It's very windy outside. It's snowing. It's a blizzard. In my area here, they're expecting up to 2 feet of snow, between 18 and 20 inches with the possibility of 2 feet. That's a lot of snow. It's going to snow for a period of time, about 18 hours, 18 hours of snow with high winds. And what could be more fun, right? I'm just keeping my fingers crossed that we continue to have power. Without power, things really take a turn for the boring and the uncomfortable, like freezing to death and things like that. Anyway, that's where I'm at. So for those listeners that live in the Boston area, of which apparently we have quite a few, it's time to turn to our meteorologist, who you'll only hear on this program, meteorologist Jim Clambaker. Jim?
Hey, everybody. This is Jim Clambaker with your New England Broadcasting Weather Outlook. You know, weather watchers, there are two phrases you never want to hear. That's not a rash, and there's more snow on the way. And while I may not know what to do about those red spots on your hiney, it looks like Mother Nature's prescription involves shoving several more inches of snow right on up there. Sure, you've already got a couple of feet of packed powder pouring out of every available orifice, and the snowbanks on your driveway would take out the Titanic, but break out the lube and pucker up, Buttercup, because here it comes again. Why we haven't all jammed ourselves into a fleet of RVs and bolted for warmer climates and left this godforsaken frozen tundra to fend for itself is beyond me. Oh, wait, that's right, they keep canceling flights. I should be in Bangkok right now having my houseboy freshen up my cocktail and repack my bong, but no, I'm sitting here staring at weather patterns for hours on end, and believe me, at this stage of the game, what they seem to be spelling out is about one letter away from telling me to go on a freaking killing spree. Be a meteorologist in New England, they said. It'll be fun, they said. Well, they'll be the first to go when James Emerson Clambaker III has had enough. This is Jim Clambaker with your New England Broadcasting Weather Outlook. Now back to Ron Van Dam.
There's a bright golden haze on the meadow. There's a bright golden haze on the meadow.
I wish.
The corn is as high as an elephant's eye. And it looks like it's climbing clear up to the sky. Oh, what a beautiful morning.
Not. On Sunday morning, I changed my clock. I sprung forward. I don't know if you saw me do that. I sprung forward, and I lost an hour. I can't find it. I don't know where it is. I've been looking everywhere under the couch and the whole bit. I found my keys, but I lost an hour somewhere. I lost an hour of sleep that I never really get anyway. Ron, isn't it horrible? In the spring, you lose an hour of sleep. Hey, in my life, you do that every night. I lose hours all the time. Sleep? What's that? Should I look that up on the Wikipedia thing? I don't know what sleep is. I nap every once in a while. Sleep? I don't know what that is. I don't know. It's a futile attempt at just not doing anything for a short period of time. That's all that is for me. Lying down in a prone position, pretty much that's all that is to me. Anyway, I lost an hour somewhere, and then someone said, Ron, think of all the things you could do in the space of an hour. And I responded by saying, I do nothing in the space of an hour anyway. You've got to understand something. I do very, very little. I am not a whirlwind type of guy. Losing an hour is pretty much inconsequential to me. There's nothing I would have done if I had the hour. Let's put it that way. Would I have used that hour to do something constructive? No, that wouldn't have happened. So take away more hours for all I care. I don't care. Whatever. Do what you wish. Do what you will to me. take my hours, please. I like the fall where you gain an hour. There I really have a problem because I don't need an extra hour. I'm just telling you to take more away because I don't do anything with them anyway. Now you're actually going to give me more. I have nothing to do with that stuff. Can I give hours away to other people that I'm not using as a gift? Can I consider that a charitable contribution? That would be nice. Some people say, I don't have enough time to do anything. Take one of my hours. Please, I've got plenty of them in the closet. Just take them. You can pay me back sometime if I'm busy and give me an hour. How about that? It's not the way that works. What's up with that woodchuck, groundhog thing, that vermin, that gerbil? What happened with that Chucky there, bride of Chucky? What do you call that, seed of Chucky? What do you call that little woodchuck thing, that little Pennsylvania Pawtucket? Pawtuxy Phil, something like that. That little animal that sticks its head out of a hole. A lot of analogies there. A little animal sticks his head out of a hole and looks around and says, "Moop, you're screwed. I'm going back inside. You got more winter. I'm going to go back in my little safe hole." 6 more weeks of winter. That was a little over 6 weeks ago. Okay, had the 6 weeks of winter. Shut up now. Let's stop this crap. Let's get out of this winter thing. What's going on? What's going on with this? We're in some kind of a pattern here in the Northeast. So don't screw around with the time with me, you know. Just fix this weather thing, will you please? Speaking of fixing weather things, I believe it was Florida. I could be wrong, and I probably am wrong, but I'll talk anyway. This is not, by the way, this is not news. It's not fake news. I'm just talking. I'm just conjecturing. I'm not saying things that are fact, okay? I believe in Florida they're considering going off of this daylight savings time. By the way, daylight savings time, how much are we really saving? What are we saving here? Can you save time like that? I don't know. Anyway, that made no sense, right? I mean, absolutely no sense. Florida's considered going to its own time deal and making it, I don't know what they're supposed to do. I think you have to have Eastern Standard Time. I think by law you have to have that, but you can get rid of daylight savings time. I don't know what either one means, and I don't even care, so why even talk about it? What's the point of all of this? I don't know. What I did want to talk about is in Pennsylvania, there's a guy running, Rick Saccone, I believe his name is, and he's running for Congress as a Republican. He's under the category of asshole. I mean, let's face it, even Republicans put him in that category. Donald Trump has even called him an asshole. Now, that's actually not bizarre, because Donald Trump calls everybody asshole, so that's not special. But then Trump went to Pennsylvania a couple of days ago to actually campaign for this Rick Saccone guy and spent maybe 30 seconds saying, "I'm here for Rick Saccone." And then he went on and did his stand-up routine. He did a stand-up act about how smart he is and how all news is fake and all that stuff, and called people names like an insult comedian, and said things that were just totally outlandish and ridiculous, and everybody cheered and loved him. Trump just loves, he does a road show. It's the suckiest road show in the world, but he does one. So here's the deal with this Saccone guy. Yesterday, and the election is today. So yesterday, as a parting word to the voters in Pennsylvania, Saccone actually says, he says, "You know, Democrats and people that oppose me don't love this country and don't love God." Wow. That was like awful. That's all. That crosses the line, doesn't it? Ron, we have no more lines. There are no more lines to cross. There are no borders. There are no morals. There are no ethics. There are no "that's disgusting" lines. They've all been erased. We erased them. We erased all those boundaries. Yeah, that's what we did. Not me. Some of you did that. I think we need the boundaries back. That's what I'm thinking. Man, I'm telling you something. My guest today at the end of the show is Reggie Hill. That's a nice name, Reggie Hill. Kind of pleasant. Reggie Hill wrote a book about the place that he lives in, called Lakewood. He finds it to be his heaven. And a lot of people are connecting with this guy. He's found a place on earth that is just his heaven. He just loves it. It's bucolic. It's lovely. He's been there forever. He builds there. He invests there. He's on this beautiful lake, surrounded by beautiful landscaping, and he just loves it. And I thought, this is what I want. This is what I want, what you have, Reggie. So he wrote this book, and it's fascinating. We're going to speak to him a little bit later on in the program. So I hope you enjoy that. I have to oil my chair. Do you hear that? Do you hear that? I have got to oil that chair. What is with that chair?
I'd kick it in the head when he was 25. speed jive. Don't want to stay alive when you're 25. And when it's getting close to mountain spots, and Freddy's got spots to rip then up the side from his face, funky little boat race. Television man is crazy, same with juvenile delinquent wrecks. Oh man, I need TV when I got TV. Oh brother, you get how to do that.
Oh, young dude,
hey, dude,
carry the news.
Where are you?
Listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too, but sometimes he says bad words.
I have an appointment with Comcast on Thursday. We're going to lunch together. No, they're coming over to my house. They're going to replace my cable modem, you see. I complained about service a few days ago because my internet wasn't working, my phone wasn't working, my TV wasn't working, everything wasn't working, nothing was working. Toilets wouldn't flush, the whole bit. So they said, you know, Ron, you have an outdated modem. I said, excuse me, I've never been so insulted in my life. Said, no, you know, you have an outdated modem. Just bring your modem down to one of our Xfinity. Again, no such word. Bring your modem down to the Xfinity location, and we'll give you a new modem, and you can hook that up, and you'll be fine. And I said, well, you know what? I'm fine now, and there's no way that I'm going down to your quote-unquote Xfinity. There isn't such a word place. And then I'm going to go home. I'm going to hook up the modem, and it's not going to work, and I'm going to have to call one of your guys to help me out anyway. You know, maybe I can do it, maybe I can't, but you don't quite understand. You perform a service, and I'm not doing it myself. That's ridiculous. By the way, how much would it cost to have a service person from Comcast come out here and switch out my modem and install the new one? Oh, that wouldn't cost you anything. Okay, so you're asking me, so wait a minute now, that doesn't cost me anything? Why the hell would I go do this myself if you're going to do it and it doesn't cost me anything and you guys are supposedly the experts on this cable stuff? And the she said on the line, she said, you know, you're right. Thank you very much for acknowledging my correctness. So Thursday, a Comcast or Xfinity, whatever they call themselves, person will be coming into my home. Now I'm thinking, oh my God, do I want these people in my house? I mean, I don't know where they've been. I don't know when they shower. I have no idea. I mean, So I'm going to be very careful. I'm going to have a police escort bring them into the house because I don't trust these people. I just don't. I don't trust them. I don't. Every time I have to renegotiate with them like some type of Persian rug salesman, every year my cable bill goes up drastically and I say to them, like, what the hell happened? I'm paying like a lot more than I did last month. What happened? I said, oh, our rates went up. I said, oh, okay, fine. You told me last year that my rates wouldn't go up for a couple of years. Well, we lied to you. I mean, that's our rate, so we have to impose these other costs that we have to pay. We have to pass that on to you. I said, well, you didn't tell me that before. I would have switched to another carrier. Not that there is one, really. So they finagle, and then I always threaten to leave them. I say, well, look, I've been with you for about 15 years now. I'm going to go to Verizon. They're welcoming me with open arms. They're even going to send people over to my house to have unbridled sex with me. So I'm probably going to switch over. So, and then they always say, well, wait, hold on now. Hold on, Ron. Hold on now, baby. Hold on. Let's not get stupid here. Let me get my supervisor on the phone. Let's see what we can do. Oh, well, you get your supervisor on the phone because I'm on my way out. And they get the supervisor on the phone, who is a little bit more nice than the other person I spoke to, but they have a whole range of options, this other supervisor. And they say, Ron, you know, you've been with us for a long time. We really want to keep you. How about if we make this deal with you? And then they lie to me again. They lie to me again. But I take it. I take it because it is cheaper than what I'm even paying now. For now, right? Then that starts creeping up, you know. You got to watch these bills. They lie to you. They'll do anything to keep you. They'll lie to you. And I'm not saying that all Comcast employees are liars. None of them are. They all are doing what they're supposed to do. That's the job. It's Xfinity, Comcast, the executives that lie to people. I don't know why I have to renegotiate a price every single year like I'm doing some type of Palestinian-Israeli peace talks here. You know, I'm not the great negotiator like Donald Trump. Oh man, has he negotiated a lot of stuff? Nothing. He's negotiated nothing. He's the great deal maker, the art of the deal. He's broken more deals. He hasn't done anything in those lines whatsoever. Anyway, I get off the subject. In any event, they're coming into the house, and I don't know if I should be cooking, you know, perhaps baking a cake for them. Welcome, Xfinity, to my home. I tell you one thing, and I told them on the phone, I said, first, I want to make sure there is no charge to switch out this modem. And they said, no. And I said, and then I want them to test and make sure that it's compatible to everything else that I have in my house as it stands now. In other words, your Xfinity person doesn't leave my house until everything is up and running, all the devices that connect to the modem, etc. And on the phone, they said, oh, yeah, Ron, sure, whatever. I don't know, but sure, whatever you say, yeah, whatever. That's what I felt like I was getting a whatever kind of response there. So I have called a security firm to stand guard at the door. I will not let these Xfinity people leave after they switch out my modem until I'm totally satisfied. They will not exit my house. They better bring their pajamas, man, because I have a feeling they're going to run into problems. They are going to run into problems here. I have so many things connected to that modem that I think I'm running an entire country off of their modem. I just, I don't know what's going on. I don't. I am going to bake a cake for them. It's going to say, welcome, Xfinity. And I'm going to schmooze them. I'm going to schmooze them, man. I'm going to schmooze them. And if anything goes wrong, I'm going to threaten to leave again. Just like a disgruntled spouse.
You've cheated on me too many times. I'm leaving you. Oh, please don't leave. Oh, please don't leave. What can I do to change my mind? Oh, please don't leave. Oh, please don't leave. Don't leave me. I don't want to be alone.
All right, fine. I know what to do. I've been around for a while. This isn't my first rodeo. I think I've told you. I've always wanted to go to a rodeo. Dress up like a cowboy. Ooh, kinky. Dress up like a cowboy. Go to a rodeo. Sit there. Watch the whole rodeo. The riding the bull and the horses and the bronco busting your bronco. Sit there through the whole rodeo. Go home. But on my way home, I buy tickets to the next rodeo that's going to be next week. I buy my tickets there. I go home. I get excited for a whole week. I find another cowboy outfit to wear to the rodeo. Ooh, big hat and nice. I look good in a cowboy hat, by the way. Then I go back to the rodeo the next week. I sit down. I watch the rodeo. And then I turn to the person next to me and I say, you know, this is not my first rodeo. I want to say that. This isn't my first rodeo. How exciting that would be. How exciting that would be. I'd say it right to their face. Right to their face. Almost spitting in their face as I'm doing it. Yeah.
Do you know that there is one item that can not only increase your home's beauty, but its value? That would be placemats. Hello, I'm George Karanapikopoulos, owner of George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse, your one-stop for all your placemat needs. We have a placemat for every room of your house. That's right, placemats are not just for the dining room anymore. Anywhere you might make a spill, or maybe where you eat, like in front of the TV, I do it all the time like you. You want a placemat. We have fancy placemats, like in bamboo or teak. That's right, teak. Nice plastic laminate ones for no stains, even blue. We can custom make you placemats in as little as 2 weeks. Come to our showroom at the intersection of Route 27 and the Holbrook Turnpike. You're going to like what you see. Your placemat is waiting for you at George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse.
Okay, we're, hey, it's Reggie and Anita's Camelot, and that's what we're talking about. It's a gift book, and it's, has this just come out, Reggie?
Yes, Ron. It just came out about 6 weeks ago, and I also published another book just before it. It's called Sunshine's Excellent Adventures. Uh-huh. It's a children's book to teach children's lessons cool. about life. It's a bedtime stories, but Lakewood, Reggie and Anita's Camelot, A Gift from God, is about our home of 37 years, uh-huh. and it's where we've lived. I have a solar home we built 37 years ago. Cool. But the important thing about the place is my grandfather built a 7-acre lake on it back during World War II. Mm-hmm. And this was when you could not get gasoline for anything but the war effort. So it was built with mules and pans and muscle. It took 2.5 years to build a 7.5-acre lake, free natural springs, crystal clear. And this is a place I used to come as a boy. I lived a mile away to camp and fish and play with my buddies. And as a 71-year-old man, I even love it more now than I did then.
Wow. Well, Reggie Hill is an author, and this is kind of a life story about it seems like such a normal life and such a masterpiece life. You met your wife, you've known her all your life back from school. Apparently, we're married 2 years later, and have lived here all this time, and have developed relationships, a love of the area, and it's kind of a, you know, when you read the book, it makes you just comfortable. I think comfortable is what comes out of this for me, at least the setting.
Well, thank you, Ron. I appreciate that. And if I may, I would like to read for your listeners the first short story that opens the book. It's called Lakewood, A Blessed Place. Over the years, the lake at Lakewood has played its role in saving souls. Pastors from many local country churches baptized believers in the lake. How can such a lake not be blessed? Souls have risen here as their bodies were immersed. God's face can be imagined in the sky, smiling approvingly as the baptisms occurred. He must be pleased that Lakewood has a role in salvation. So as you can see, it has a religious bent to it.
Right. Yes, it does. But it seems like a spiritual type of attitude in the religion.
It is. Anita and I were married 48 years ago, yes. 49 years ago, yes. in the same church where we're members today. Okay, and it's a little country community church. It's only 2 miles from Lakewood. Mm-hmm. So the thing about this book is I like to write stories, but I also like to write poetry. And I hope that you, Ron, enjoyed the poems. My favorite yes. one is Lakewood Diamonds. Do you remember that one?
Yes, I do.
Okay. But the thing, the real genesis for me writing this book is Anita, 7 years ago, was stricken with Parkinson's. And then mm-hmm. a year later, she had breast cancer with mm-hmm. surgery. And following that, a massive stroke that mm-hmm. paralyzed her on her left side. Mm-hmm. So part of my writing this book is to pass something on about the joy and the life that we had at Lakewood. And yeah. I think that since we have no children, right. at the end of the road, I'm going to gift this to someone or some society that can use it to bring children to enjoy the lake and to camp and to have fun.
That's great. That's great. And make it a legacy.
Yes.
Very, very nice. Well, it is a Camelot in a way, and to a lot of people who read the book, it becomes their Camelot as well, because it represents a foundation as far as I'm concerned.
Well, thank you, Ron. That's a very complimentary mm-hmm. observation. And I must admit, the reviews I've seen, which, not to brag, but they're all 5 stars and very good on mm-hmm. Amazon for both books, I'm getting that same message that you just gave me, mm-hmm. that it kind of gives people for a time being during the reading of it, an escape from this somewhat hectic world. Yeah. And it also gives them a chance to reflect on the things in their life with their family that's important to them.
Things have become more hectic than usual lately. So it's again, it's not an escape as much as it is like running on a baseball field and going back to home base. It just it's more that, mm-hmm. and it also, I know that this area of Lakewood becomes larger than just the area itself, because it starts to represent so many other things and so many experiences through your lifetime. I'm interested that way back you did a solar home, mm-hmm. which was probably one of the first solar homes in the area, I would assume?
Yes, the genesis for that was back in 1980, the federal government wanted to encourage alternative energy sources, so mm-hmm. they gave significant investment tax credits to anyone that would go with energy-saving devices. So at Lakewood, the house faces due south to take advantage of the sun, uh-huh. summer and winter. That's passive solar. But I also put in, Ron, a geothermal heat pump, which uh-huh. uses well water to heat and cool the house, wow. and also solar collectors on the roof for hot water.
Wow. So you're indeed living off of the land and the planet.
Well, I hope to, and I'm not trying, and I don't generate waste that way, mm-hmm. and biomedical, you know, biological waste, yeah. like you do when you run something with fossil fuels. Mm-hmm. But I think that also another feature of it is that it just it shows that you can actually use nature. Every house, Ron, that I've ever bought or built, mm-hmm. I've always made certain that it faced south. Mm-hmm. This could be valuable for your listeners. Because when you face a house south, you get all the advantages of the heat gain and the cooling effects mm-hmm. from the natural sun flow and where it is in the sky, depending on the time of the year.
Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah, that is a good piece of information. Well, the book's available everywhere, I understand.
Well, as far as I know, you can get it on Amazon. It's really been doing well there. It's also on Barnes & Noble. Mm-hmm. And
I think that's all there is. Unfortunately, I think we both remember a time where there were more than two places.
Well, you know, the thing for me, Ron, is that I think Amazon, and this is not an ad for them, but I think yeah. it was invented for me, with my wife being home and me yeah. caring for her. Yeah. I mean, it's so nice to just have things dropped off at your front door.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Well, it's a pleasure speaking to you. Is there a website or something where we can get more information?
I'm working on that right now. As a matter of fact, yesterday I went on GoDaddy.
Good.
My publicist recommended that I consider doing that, and yes. I'm actively pursuing it.
Actually, we just had an interview with GoDaddy when you tried to call earlier. That's who we were speaking to. They were talking about cybersecurity, and we talked about their websites. They are very impressive, and they do help you out doing it and promoting it. So it's a good place to go. Good choice. Okay. The book is called Lakewood. It's Reggie and Anita's Camelot. And pick it up. It's a good deal to have. Thank you so much.
Okay. One thing I'd like to leave your listeners yes. with. The next to the last story in the book is called Lakewood Sunrise and Sunsets. And let me just read this to you briefly.
Please.
Is that okay?
Please.
Okay. It says, as the morning sun peaks over the eastern horizon, the dawning of a new day takes place. Creatures of all kinds awaken and begin to scurry. The birds face the sun and shake off the night chill. Workers rise from their beds with sleepy eyes. All creatures, man and animal, accept the new day and begin their task assigned to them. The nighttime fast is broken. As breakfast is eaten, all creatures forage, some in the fields and others in refrigerators. The rest of the day is active and purposeful. As the sun begins to fall from grace in the evening sky, the place slows for all. It's time for sleep and healing. Tomorrow will follow, and opportunities abound.
Nice stuff. Thank you so much, Reggie.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me on your show.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
There you go, babe. Nice stuff. All right, my lights have flickered quite a few times since I began this show. I foresee problems, but whatever. What are you going to do? Ladies and gentlemen, have yourselves a wonderful day. I know I won't. I wish you peace.